చిన్న చైతన్న ప్రభో నిత్యానంద శ్రీయాద్వైతదాధా వాసతి గౌరభక్తవృంద.
And now, Chapter 5 of the Adi Lila. Let me offer my obeisances to Lord Nityananda, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, whose opulence is wonderful and unlimited. By his will, even a fool can understand his identity. All glories to Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. All glories to Lord Nityananda. All glories to Advaita Acharya. And all glories to all the devotees of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. I have described the glory of Sri Krishna Chaitanya in 6 verses. Now in 5 verses, I shall describe the glory of Lord Nityananda. The Supreme Personality of Godhead, Krishna, is the fountainhead of all incarnations. Lord Balaram is his second body. They are both one and the same identity. They differ only in form. He is the first bodily expansion of Krishna, and he assists in Lord Krishna's transcendental pastimes. That original Lord Krishna appeared in Navadvip as Lord Chaitanya, and Balaram appeared with him as Lord Nityananda. May Sri Nityananda Ram be the object of my constant remembrance. Sankarshan, Sheshanag, and the Vishnus who lie in the Cotton Ocean, Garbha Ocean, and Ocean of Milk are his plenary portions, and the portions of his plenary portions. Lord Balaram is the original Sankarshan. He assumes 5 other forms to serve Lord Krishna. Lord Balaram is the original Sankarshan. He assumes 5 other forms to serve Lord Krishna. He himself helps in the pastimes of Lord Krishna, and he does the work of creation in 4 other forms. He executes the orders of Lord Krishna in the work of creation, and in the form of Lord Shesha, he serves Krishna in various ways. In all the forms, he tastes the transcendental bliss of serving Krishna. That same Balaram is Lord Nityananda, the companion of Lord Gaurasundara. I have explained this 7th verse in 4 subsequent verses. By these verses, all the world can know the truth about Lord Nityananda. I surrender unto the lotus feet of Sri Nityananda Ram, who is known as Sankarshan in the midst of the Chaturvyuha, consisting of Vasudev, Sankarshan, Pradyumna, and Aniruddha. He possesses full opulences and resides in Vaikuntha Loka, far beyond the material creation. Beyond the material nature lies the realm known as Paravyom, the spiritual sky. Like Lord Krishna himself, it possesses all transcendental attributes, such as the 6 opulences. That Vaikuntha region is all-pervading, infinite and supreme. It is the residence of Lord Krishna and his incarnations. in the highest region of that spiritual sky is the spiritual planet called Krishna Loka. It has three divisions, Dwarka, Mathura, and Gokul. Sri Gokul, the highest of all, is also called Vraj, Golok, Shvetadvip, and Vrindavan. Like the transcendental body of Lord Krishna, Gokul is all-pervading, infinite, and supreme. It expands both above and below without any restriction. That abode is manifested within the material world by the will of Lord Krishna. It is identical to that original Gokul. They are not two different bodies. The land there is touchstone, or Chintamani, and the forests abound with desire trees. Material eyes see it as an ordinary place. But with the eyes of love of Godhead, one can see its real identity as the place where Lord Krishna performs his pastimes with the cowherd boys and cowherd girls. In the Brahma Samhita it is said, I worship Govinda, the primeval Lord, the first progenitor, who is tending the cows, yielding all desires in abodes built with spiritual gems and surrounded by millions of purpose trees. He is always served with great reverence and affection by hundreds and thousands of goddesses of fortune. He manifests his own form in Mathura and Dwarka. He enjoys pastimes in various ways by expanding into the quadruple forms. Vasudev, Sankarshan, Pradyumna, and Aniruddha are the primary quadruple forms from whom all other quadruple forms are manifested. They are all purely transcendental. Only in these three places, Dwarka, Mathura, and Gokul, does the all-sporting Lord Krishna perform his endless pastimes with his personal associates. In the Vaikuntha planets of the spiritual sky, the Lord manifests his identity as Narayan and performs pastimes in various ways. Krishna's own form has only two hands, but in the form of Lord Narayan, he has four hands. Lord Narayan holds a conch shell, disc, club, and lotus flower, and he is full of great opulence. The Shri, Bhu, and Nila energies serve at his lotus feet. Although his pastimes are his only characteristic functions, by his causeless mercy, he performs one activity for the fallen souls. He delivers the fallen living entities by offering them four kinds of liberation, Salokya, Samipya, Sarshti, and Sarupya. Those who attain Brahma Sayuja liberation cannot gain entrance into Vaikuntha. Their residence is outside the Vaikuntha planets. Outside the Vaikuntha planets is the atmosphere of the glowing effulgence, which consists of the supremely bright rays of the body of Lord Krishna. That region is called Siddhaloka, and it is beyond material nature. Its essence is spiritual, but it does not have spiritual varieties. It is like the homogeneous effulgence around the sun. But inside the sun are the chariots, horses, and other opulences of the sun god. As it is mentioned in the Srimad Bhagavatam, as through devotion to the Lord one can attain his abode, many have attained that goal by abandoning their sinful activities and absorbing their minds in the Lord through lust, envy, fear, or affection. And as Srila Rupa Goswami says in his Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu, where it has been stated that the Lord's enemies and devotees attain the same destination, This refers to the ultimate oneness of Brahman and Lord Krishna. This may be understood by the example of the sun and the sunshine, in which Brahman is like the sunshine and Krishna himself is like the sun. Thus, in the spiritual sky, there are varieties of pastimes within the spiritual energy. Outside the Vaikuntha planets appears the impersonal reflection of light. That impersonal Brahman effulgence consists only of the effulgent rays of the Lord. Those fit for Sayujya liberation merge into that effulgence. Beyond the region of ignorance, or the material cosmic manifestation, lies the realm of Siddha Loka. The Siddhas reside there, absorbed in the bliss of Brahman. Demons, killed by the Lord, also attain that realm. In that spiritual sky, on the four sides of Narayan, are the second expansions of the quadruple expansions of Dwarka. Vasudev, Sankarshan, Pradyumna, and Aniruddha constitute this second quadruple. They are purely transcendental. There, the personal feature of Balaram, called Mahasankarshan, is the shelter of the spiritual energy. He is the primary cause, the cause of all causes. One variety of the pastimes of the spiritual energy is described as pure goodness, or Vishuddha Sattva. It comprises all the abodes of Vaikuntha. The six attributes are all spiritual. Know for certain that they are all manifestations of the opulence of Sankarshan. There is one marginal potency known as Jiva. Mahasankarshan is the shelter of all Jivas. Sankarshan is the original shelter of the Purusha, from whom this world is created and in whom it is dissolved. He, or Sankarshan, is the shelter of everything. He is wonderful in every respect, and his opulences are infinite. Even Ananta cannot describe his glory. That Sankarshan, who is transcendental pure goodness, is a partial expansion of Nityananda Balaram. I have briefly explained the eighth verse. Now please listen with attention as I explain the ninth verse. I offer my full obeisances unto the feet of Sri Nityananda Ram, whose partial representation, called Karnadakshayi Vishnu, lying on the Kadan ocean, is the original Purush, the master of the illusory energy, and the shelter of all the universes. Outside the Vaikuntha planets is the impersonal Brahman effulgence, and beyond that effulgence is the Kadan ocean, or causal ocean. Surrounding Vaikuntha is a mass of water that is endless, unfathomed, and unlimited. The earth, water, fire, air, and ether of Vaikuntha are all spiritual. Material elements are not found there. The water of the Kadan ocean, which is the original cause, is therefore spiritual. The sacred Ganges, which is but a drop of it, purifies the fallen souls. In that ocean lies one plenary portion of Lord Sankarshan. He is known as the first Purush, the creator of the total material energy. He, the cause of the universes, the first incarnation, casts his glance over Maya. Maya Shakti resides outside the ocean of Kadan. Maya cannot touch its waters. Maya has two varieties of existence. One is called Pradhan or Prakriti. It supplies the ingredients of the material world. Because Prakriti is dull and inert, it cannot actually be the cause of the material world. But Lord Krishna shows his mercy by infusing his energy into the dull, inert, material nature. Thus Prakriti, by the energy of Lord Krishna, becomes the secondary cause, just as iron becomes red hot by the energy of fire. Therefore, Lord Krishna is the original cause of the cosmic manifestation. Prakriti is like the nipples of the neck of a goat, for they cannot give any milk. The Maya aspect of material nature is the immediate cause of the cosmic manifestation. But it also cannot be the real cause, for the original cause is Lord Narayan. Just as the original cause of an earthen pot is the potter, so the creator of the material world is the first Purush incarnation. Lord Krishna is the creator, and Maya only helps him as an instrument, just like the potter's wheel and other instruments, which are the instrumental causes of a pot. The first Purush casts his glance at Maya from a distance, and thus he impregnates her with the seed of life, in the form of the living entities. The reflected rays of his body mix with Maya, and thus Maya gives birth to myriads of universes. The Purush enters each and every one of the countless universes. He manifests himself in as many separate forms as there are universes. When the Purush exhales, the universes become manifest with each outward breath. Thereafter, when he inhales, all the universes again enter his body. Just as atomic particles of dust pass through the openings of a window, so the networks of universes pass through the pores of the skin of the Purusha. The Brahmas and other lords of the mundane worlds appear from the pores of the Mahavishnu and remain alive for the duration of his one exhalation. I adore the primeval Lord Govinda, for Mahavishnu is a portion of his plenary portion. In the Srimad Bhagavatam, Lord Brahma said, "Where am I? A small creature of seven spans the measure of my own hand. I am enclosed in the universe composed of material nature, the total material energy, false ego, ether, air, water, and earth. And what is your glory? Unlimited universes pass through the pores of your body, just like particles of dust passing through the opening of a window. A part of a whole is called a kala. Sri Balaram is the counterform of Lord Govinda. Balaram's own expansion is called Mahasankarshan, and his fragment, the Purush, is counted as a kala, or a part of a plenary portion. I say that this kala is Mahavishnu. He is the Mahapurush, who is the source of the other Purushas, and who is all-pervading. Garbhodakshayi and Kshiradakshayi are both called Purushas. They are plenary portions of Karanadakshayi Vishnu, the first Purush, who is the abode of all the universes. Vishnu has three forms called Purushas. The first, Mahavishnu, is the creator of the total material energy, or Mahat. The second is Garbhadakshayi, who is situated within each universe. And the third is Kshiradakshayi, who lives in the heart of every living being. He who knows these three becomes liberated from the clutches of Maya. Although Kshiradakshayi Vishnu is called Akala of Lord Krishna, he is the source of Matsya, Kurma, and the other incarnations. In the Srimad Bhagavatam it is said, all these incarnations of Godhead are either plenary portions or parts of the plenary portions of the Purusha avatars. But Krishna is the supreme personality of Godhead himself. In every age, he protects the world through his different features when the world is disturbed by the enemies of Indra. That Purush, or Kshiradakshayi Vishnu, is the performer of creation, maintenance, and destruction. And he manifests himself in many incarnations, for he is the maintainer of the world. That fragment of the Mahapurush, who appears for the purpose of creation, maintenance, and annihilation, is called an incarnation. That Mahapurush is identical with the personality of Godhead. He is the original incarnation, the seed of all others, and the shelter of everything. The Purush is the primary incarnation of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Time, nature, Prakriti, as cause and effect, the mind, the material elements, false ego, the modes of nature, the senses, the universal form, complete independence, and the moving and non-moving beings appear subsequently as his opulences. In the beginning of the creation, the Lord expanded himself in the form of the Purush incarnation, accompanied by all the ingredients of material creation. First, he created the 16 principal energies suitable for creation. This was for the purpose of manifesting the material universes. Although the Lord is the shelter of everything, and although all the universes rest in him, he, as the Supersoul, is also the support of everything. Although he is thus connected with the material energy in two ways, he does not have the slightest contact with it. In the Srimad Bhagavatam it is said, this is the opulence of the Lord. Although situated within the material nature, he is never affected by the modes of nature. Similarly, those who have surrendered to him and have fixed their intelligence upon him are not influenced by the modes of nature. Thus, Bhagavad Gita also states again and again that the Absolute Truth always possesses inconceivable power. Lord Krishna says, I am situated in the material world, and the world rests in me. But at the same time, I am not situated in the material world, nor does it rest on me in truth. O Arjuna, you should know this as my inconceivable opulence. This is the meaning propagated by Lord Krishna in Bhagavad Gita, that Mahapurusha, Karunadakshayi Vishnu, is known as a plenary part of him, who is Lord Nityananda Balaram, the favored associate of Lord Chaitanya. I have thus explained the 9th verse, and now I shall explain the 10th. Please listen with rapt attention. I offer my full obeisances unto the feet of Sri Nityananda Ram, a partial part of whom is Garbhadakshayi Vishnu. From the navel of Garbhodakshayi Vishnu sprouts the lotus that is the birthplace of Brahma, the engineer of the universe. The stem of that lotus is the resting place of the multitude of planets. After creating millions of universes, the first Purush entered into each of them in a separate form as Sri Garbhodakshayi Vishnu. Entering the universe, he found only darkness with no place in which to reside. Thus he began to consider. Then he created water from the perspiration of his own body, and with that water filled half the universe. The universe measures 500 million yojanas. Its length and breadth are one and the same. After filling half the universe with water, he made his own residence therein and manifested the 14 worlds in the other half. There he manifested Vaikuntha as his own abode and rested in the waters on the bed of Lord Shesha. He lay there with Ananta as his bed. Lord Ananta is a divine serpent having thousands of heads, thousands of faces, thousands of eyes, and thousands of hands and feet. He is the seed of all incarnations and is the cause of the material world. From his navel grew a lotus flower, which became the birthplace of Lord Brahma. Within the stem of that lotus were the 14 worlds. Thus the Supreme Lord, as Brahma, created the entire creation. And as Lord Vishnu, he maintains the entire world. Lord Vishnu, being beyond all material attributes, has no touch with the material qualities. Assuming the form of Rudra, he destroys the creation. Thus creation, maintenance, and dissolution are created by his will. He is the Supersoul, Hiranyagarbha, the cause of the material world. The universal form is conceived as his expansion. That Lord Narayan is a part of a plenary part of Lord Nityananda Balaram, who is the source of all incarnations. I have thus explained the 10th verse. Now please listen to the meaning of the 11th verse with all your mind. I offer my respectful obeisances unto the feet of Sri Nityananda Ram, whose secondary part is the Vishnu lying in the ocean of milk. That Shiradakshayi Vishnu is the Supersoul of all living entities and the maintainer of all the universes. Sheshanag is his further subpart. The material planets rest within the stem that grew from the lotus navel of Lord Narayan. Among these planets are seven oceans. There, in part of the ocean of milk, lies Shvetadvipa, the abode of the sustainer, Lord Vishnu. He is the Supersoul of all living entities. He maintains this material world, and he is its Lord. In the ages and millenniums of Manu, he appears as different incarnations to establish the principles of real religion and vanquish the principles of irreligion. Unable to see him, the demigods go to the bank of the ocean of milk and offer prayers to him. He then descends to maintain the material world. His unlimited opulences cannot be counted. That Lord Vishnu is but a part of a plenary portion of Lord Nityananda, who is the source of all incarnations. That same Lord Vishnu, in the form of Lord Shesh, holds the planets upon his heads, although he does not know where they are, for he cannot feel their existence upon his heads. His thousands of extended hoods are adorned with dazzling jewels surpassing the sun. The universe, which measures 500 million yojanas in diameter, rests on one of his hoods like a mustard seed. That Anantashesh is the devotee incarnation of Godhead. He knows nothing but service to Lord Krishna. With his thousands of mouths, he sings the glories of Lord Krishna, but although he always sings in that way, he does not find an end to the qualities of the Lord. The four Kumaras hear Srimad Bhagavatam from his lips, and they in turn repeat it in the transcendental bliss of love of Godhead. He serves Lord Krishna, assuming all the following forms: umbrella, slippers, bedding, pillow, garments, resting chair, residence, sacred thread, and throne. He is thus called Lord Shesh, for he has attained the ultimate end of servitude to Krishna. He takes many forms for the service of Krishna, and thus he serves the Lord. That person, of whom Lord Ananta is a Kala, or part of a plenary part, is Lord Nityananda Prabhu. Who, therefore, can know the pastimes of Lord Nityananda? From these conclusions, we can know the limit of the truth of Lord Nityananda. But what glory is there in calling him Ananta? But I accept it as the truth, because it has been said by devotees. Since he is the source of all incarnations, everything is possible in him. They know that there is no difference between the incarnation and the source of all incarnations. Previously, Lord Krishna was regarded in the light of different principles by different people. Some said that Krishna was directly Lord Nara Narayan, and some called him Lord Vamanadeva incarnate. Some called Lord Krishna an incarnation of Lord Kshiradakshayi Vishnu. All these names are true. Nothing is impossible. When the Supreme Personality of Godhead Krishna appears, he is the shelter of all plenary parts. Thus, at that time, all his plenary portions join in him. In whatever form one knows the Lord, one speaks of him in that way. In this there is no falsity, since everything is possible in Krishna. Therefore, Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu has exhibited to everyone all the pastimes of all the various incarnations. Thus, Lord Nityananda has unlimited incarnations. In transcendental emotion, he calls himself a servant of Lord Chaitanya. Sometimes he serves Lord Chaitanya as his guru, sometimes as his friend, and sometimes as his servant, just as Lord Balaram played with Lord Krishna in these three different modes in Braj. Playing like a bull, Lord Balaram fights with Krishna head to head. And sometimes Lord Krishna massages the feet of Lord Balaram. He considers himself a servant and knows Krishna to be his master. Thus he regards himself as a fragment of his plenary portion. Acting just like ordinary boys, they played like roaring bulls as they fought each other, and they imitated the calls of various animals. Sometimes when Lord Krishna's elder brother, Lord Balaram, felt tired after playing and laid his hand on the lap of a cowherd boy, Lord Krishna himself served him by massaging his feet. In the Srimad Bhagavatam, Lord Brahma said, "Who is this mystic power, and where has she come from? Is she a demigod or a demoness? She must be the illusory energy of my master, Lord Krishna, for who else can bewilder me?" Once Lord Balaram was angry and said, "What is the value of a throne to Lord Krishna? The masters of the various planetary systems accept the dust of his lotus feet on their crowned heads. That dust makes the holy places sacred. And even Lord Brahma, Lord Shiva, Lakshmi, and myself, who are all portions of his plenary portion, eternally carry that dust on our heads. Lord Krishna alone is the supreme controller, and all others are his servants. They dance as he makes them do so. Thus Lord Chaitanya is also the only controller. All others are his associates or servants. His elders, such as Lord Nityananda, Advaitacharya, and Srivas Thakur, as well as his other devotees, whether his juniors, equals, or superiors, are all his associates who help him in his pastimes. Lord Gauranga fulfills his aims with their help. Sri Advaitacharya and Srila Nityananda Prabhu, who are plenary parts of the Lord, are his principal associates. With these two, the Lord performs his pastimes in various ways. Lord Advaitacharya is directly the supreme personality of Godhead. Although Lord Chaitanya accepts him as his preceptor, Advaita Acharya is a servant of the Lord. I cannot describe the truth of Advaitacharya. He has delivered the entire world by making Lord Krishna descend. Lord Nityananda Swarup formerly appeared as Lakshman and served Lord Ram as his younger brother. The activities of Lord Ram were full of suffering, but Lakshman, of his own accord, tolerated that suffering. As a younger brother, he could not stop Lord Ram from his resolution, and so he remained silent, although unhappy in his mind. When Lord Krishna appeared, he, Balaram, became his elder brother to serve him to his heart's content and make him enjoy all sorts of happiness. Sri Ram and Sri Lakshman, who are plenary portions of Lord Krishna and Lord Balaram, entered into them at the time of Krishna's and Balaram's appearance. Krishna and Balaram present themselves as elder or younger brother, but in the scriptures they are described as the original supreme personality of Godhead and his expansion. In the Brahma Samhita, Lord Brahma says, "I worship Govinda, the primeval Lord, who by his various plenary portions appeared in the world in different forms and incarnations, such as Lord Ram, but who personally appears in his supreme original form as Lord Krishna." Lord Chaitanya is the same Lord Krishna, and Lord Nityananda is Lord Balaram. Lord Nityananda fulfills all of Lord Chaitanya's desires. The ocean of Lord Nityananda's glory is infinite and unfathomable. Only by his mercy can I touch even a drop of it. Please listen to another glory of his mercy. He made a fallen living entity climb to the highest limit. To disclose it is not proper, for it should be kept as confidential as the Vedas. Yet I shall speak of it to make his mercy known to all. O Lord Nityananda, I write of your mercy out of great exaltation. Please forgive me for my offenses. Thank you. Lord Nityananda Prabhu had a servant named Sri Miniketan Ramdas, who was a reservoir of love. At my house there was a sankirtan day and night, and therefore he visited there, having been invited. Absorbed in emotional love, he sat in my courtyard, and all the Vaishnavas bowed down at his feet. In a joyful mood of love of God, he sometimes climbed upon the shoulder of someone offering obeisances, and sometimes he struck others with his flute or mildly slapped them. When someone saw the eyes of Miniketan Ramdas, tears would automatically flow from his own eyes, for a constant shower of tears flowed from the eyes of Miniketan Ramdas. Sometimes there were eruptions of ecstasy like kadamba flowers on some parts of his body, and sometimes one limb would be stunned while another would be trembling. Whenever he shouted aloud the name Nityananda, the people around him were filled with great wonder and astonishment. One respectable Brahmin named Sri Gunarnava Mishra was serving the deity. When Miniketan was seated in the yard, this Brahmin did not offer Lord Nityananda respect. Seeing this, Sri Ramdas became angry and spoke, "Here I find the second Romaharshan Sutta, who did not stand to show honor when he saw Lord Balaram." After saying this, he danced and sang to his heart's content, but the Brahmin did not become angry, for he was then serving Lord Krishna. At the end of the festival, Miniketan Ramdas went away, offering his blessings to everyone. At that time, he had some controversy with my brother. My brother had firm faith in Lord Chaitanya, but only a dim glimmer of faith in Lord Nityananda. Knowing this, Sri Ramdas felt unhappy in his mind. I then rebuked my brother. "These two brothers," I told him, "are like one body. They are identical manifestations. If you do not believe in Lord Nityananda, you will fall down. If you have faith in one, but disrespect the other, your logic is like the logic of accepting half a hen. It would be better to be an atheist by slighting both brothers than a hypocrite by believing in one and slighting the other." Thus, Sri Ramdas broke his flute in anger and went away, and at that time my brother fell down. I have thus described the power of the servants of Lord Nityananda. Now I shall describe another characteristic of his mercy. That night, Lord Nityananda appeared to me in a dream because of my good quality in chastising my brother. In the village of Jamatapur, which is near Naihati, Lord Nityananda appeared to me in a dream. I fell at his feet, offering my obeisances, and he then placed his own lotus feet upon my head. "Arise, get up," he told me again and again. Upon rising, I was greatly astonished to see his beauty. He had a glossy blackish complexion, and his tall, strong, heroic stature made him seem like Cupid himself. He had beautifully formed hands, arms, and legs, and eyes like lotus flowers. He wore a silk cloth with a silk turban on his head. He wore golden earrings on his ears, and golden armlets and bangles. He wore tinkling anklets on his feet, and a garland of flowers around his neck. His body was anointed with sandalwood pulp, and he was nicely decorated with tilak. His movements surpassed those of a maddened elephant. His face was more beautiful than millions upon millions of moons, and his teeth were like pomegranate seeds because of his chewing betel. His body moved to and fro, right and left, for he was absorbed in ecstasy. He chanted Krishna, Krishna in a deep voice. His red stick moving in his hand, he seemed like a maddened lion. All around the four sides of his feet were bumblebees. His devotees, dressed like cowherd boys, surrounded his feet like so many bees, and also chanted, "Krishna, Krishna," absorbed in ecstatic love. Some of them played horns and flutes, and others danced and sang. Some of them offered betel nuts, and others waved chamara fans about him. Thus I saw such opulence in Lord Nityananda Swarup. His wonderful form, qualities, and pastimes are all transcendental. I was overwhelmed with transcendental ecstasy, not knowing anything else. Then Lord Nityananda smiled and spoke to me as follows. O my dear Krishna Das, do not be afraid. Go to Vrindavan, for there you will attain all things. After saying this, he directed me toward Vrindavan by waving his hand. Then he disappeared with his associates. I fainted and fell to the ground. My dream broke, and when I regained consciousness, I saw that morning had come. I thought about what I had seen and heard, and concluded that the Lord had ordered me to proceed to Vrindavan at once. That very second I started for Vrindavan, and by his mercy I reached there in great happiness. All glory to Lord Nityananda Balaram, by whose mercy I have attained shelter in the transcendental abode of Vrindavan. All glory to the merciful Lord Nityananda, by whose mercy I have attained shelter at the lotus feet of Sri Rupa and Sri Sanatan. By his mercy I have attained the shelter of the great personality Sri Raghunath Das Goswami. And by his mercy I have found the refuge of Sri Swarup Damodar. By the mercy of Sanatan Goswami, I have learned the final conclusions of devotional service. And by the grace of Sri Rupa Goswami, I have tasted the highest nectar of devotional service. All glory to the lotus feet of Lord Nityananda, by whose mercy I have attained Sri Radha Govinda. I am more sinful than Jagai and Madai, and even lower than the worms in the stool. Anyone who hears my name loses the results of his pious activities. Anyone who utters my name becomes sinful. Who in this world but Nityananda could show his mercy to such an abominable person as me? Because he is intoxicated by ecstatic love and is an incarnation of mercy, he does not distinguish between the good and the bad. He delivers all those who fall down before him. Therefore, he has delivered such a sinful and fallen person as me. Although I am sinful and I am the most fallen, he has conferred upon me the lotus feet of Sri Rupa Goswami. I am not fit to speak all these confidential words about my visiting Lord Madan Gopal and Lord Govinda. Lord Madan Gopal, the chief deity of Vrindavan, is the enjoyer of the Ras dance and is directly the son of the king of Braj. He enjoys the Ras dance with Srimati Radharani, Sri Lalita, and others. He manifests himself as the Cupid of Cupids. Wearing yellow garments and decorated with a flower garland, Lord Krishna, appearing among the gopis with his smiling lotus face, looked directly like the charmer of the heart of Cupid. With Radha and Lalita serving him on his two sides, he attracts the hearts of all by his own sweetness. The mercy of Lord Nityananda showed me Sri Madan Mohan and gave me Sri Madan Mohan as my Lord and Master. He granted to one as low as me the sight of Lord Govinda. Words cannot describe this, nor is it fit to be disclosed. On an altar made of gems in the principal temple of Vrindavan, amidst a forest of desire trees, Lord Govinda, the son of the king of Braj, sits upon a throne of gems and manifests his full glory and sweetness, thus enchanting the entire world. By his left side is Srimati Radharani and her personal friends. With them, Lord Govinda enjoys the Ras Lila and many other pastimes. Lord Brahma, sitting on his lotus seat in his own abode, always meditates on him and worships him with the mantra consisting of 18 syllables, Kleem Krishnaya Govindaya Gopi Janavalabhaya Svaha. Everyone in the 14 worlds meditates upon him, and all the denizens of Vaikuntha sing of his qualities and pastimes. The goddess of fortune is attracted by his sweetness, which Srila Rupa Goswami has described in this way. My dear friend, if you are indeed attached to your worldly friends, do not look at the smiling face of Lord Govinda as he stands on the bank of the Yamuna at Keshi Ghat. Casting sidelong glances, he places his flute to his lips, which seem like newly blossomed twigs. His transcendental body, bending in three places, appears very bright in the moonlight. Without a doubt, he is directly the son of the king of Vraj. Only a fool considers him a statue. For that offense, he cannot be liberated. Rather, he will fall into a terrible hellish condition. What more should I say? Therefore, who can describe the mercy of the lotus feet of him, Lord Nityananda, by whom I have attained the shelter of this Lord Govinda? All the groups of Vaishnavas who live in Vrindavan are absorbed in chanting the all-auspicious name of Krishna. Lord Chaitanya and Lord Nityananda are their life and soul. They do not know anything but devotional service to Sri Sri Radha Krishna. The dust and shade of the lotus feet of the Vaishnavas have been granted to this fallen soul by the mercy of Lord Nityananda. Lord Nityananda said, in Vrindavan, all things are possible. Here, I have explained his brief statement in detail. I have attained all this by coming to Vrindavan, and this was made possible by the mercy of Lord Nityananda. I have described my own story without reservations. The attributes of Lord Nityananda, making me like a madman, force me to write these things. The glories of Lord Nityananda's transcendental attributes are unfathomable. Even Lord Shesh, with his thousands of mouths, cannot find their limit. Praying at the lotus feet of Sri Rupa and Sri Raghunath, always desiring their mercy, I, Krishna Das, narrate Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita, following in their footsteps. This ends Chapter 5 of the Adi Lila. I am more sinful than Jagai and Madai, and even lower than the worms in the stool. Anyone who hears my name loses the results of his pious activities. Anyone who utters my name becomes sinful. Who in this world but Nityananda could show his mercy to such an abominable person as me? Because he is intoxicated by ecstatic love and is an incarnation of mercy, he does not distinguish between the good and the bad. He delivers all those who fall down before him. Therefore, he has delivered such a sinful and fallen person as me. Although I am sinful and I am the most fallen, he has conferred upon me the lotus feet of Sri Rupa Goswami. I am not fit to speak all these confidential words about my visiting Lord Madan Gopal and Lord Govinda. Lord Madan Gopal, the chief deity of Vrindavan, is the enjoyer of the Ras dance and is directly the son of the king of Vraj. He enjoys the Ras dance with Srimati Radharani, Sri Lalita, and others. He manifests himself as the Cupid of Cupids. Wearing yellow garments and decorated with a flower garland, Lord Krishna, appearing among the gopis with his smiling lotus face, looked directly like the charmer of the heart of Cupid. With Radha and Lalita serving him on his two sides, he attracts the hearts of all by his own sweetness. The mercy of Lord Nityananda showed me Sri Madan Mohan and gave me Sri Madan Mohan as my Lord and Master. He granted to one as low as me the sight of Lord Govinda. Words cannot describe this, nor is it fit to be disclosed. On an altar made of gems in the principal temple of Vrindavan, amidst a forest of desire trees, Lord Govinda, the son of the king of Vraj, sits upon a throne of gems and manifests his full glory and sweetness, thus enchanting the entire world. By his left side is Srimati Radharani and her personal friends. With them, Lord Govinda enjoys the Ras Lila and many other pastimes. Lord Brahma, sitting on his lotus seat in his own abode, always meditates on him and worships him with the mantra consisting of 18 syllables, Kleem Krishnaya Govindaya Gopijanavallabhaya Svaha. Everyone in the 14 worlds meditates upon him, and all the denizens of Vaikuntha sing of his qualities and pastimes. The goddess of fortune is attracted by his sweetness, which Srila Rupa Goswami has described in this way. My dear friend, if you are indeed attached to your worldly friends, do not look at the smiling face of Lord Govinda as he stands on the bank of the Yamuna at Keshi Ghat. Casting sidelong glances, he places his flute to his lips, which seem like newly blossomed twigs. His transcendental body, bending in three places, appears very bright in the moonlight. Without a doubt, he is directly the son of the king of Vraj. Only a fool considers him a statue. For that offense, he cannot be liberated. Rather, he will fall into a terrible hellish condition. What more should I say? Therefore, who can describe the mercy of the lotus feet of him, Lord Nityananda, by whom I have attained the shelter of this Lord Govinda? All the groups of Vaishnavas who live in Vrindavan are absorbed in chanting the all-auspicious name of Krishna. Lord Chaitanya and Lord Nityananda are their life and soul. They do not know anything but devotional service to Sri Sri Radha Krishna. The dust and shade of the lotus feet of the Vaishnavas have been granted to this fallen soul by the mercy of Lord Nityananda. Lord Nityananda said, in Vrindavan, all things are possible. Here I have explained his brief statement in detail. I have attained all this by coming to Vrindavan, and this was made possible by the mercy of Lord Nityananda. I have described my own story without reservations, the attributes of Lord Nityananda making me like a madman force me to write these things. The glories of Lord Nityananda's transcendental attributes are unfathomable. Even Lord Shesh, with his thousands of mouths, cannot find their limit. Praying at the lotus feet of Sri Rupa and Sri Raghunath, always desiring their mercy, I, Krishna Das, narrate Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita, following in their footsteps. This ends Chapter 5 of the Adi Lila.